Nihao Dongshimen, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's your Chinese lesson of free speech. Did I say that right?
Yeah, that's pretty good. For a Westerner.
Okay, whatever. I guess I'm speaking with a Korean accent. Anyway. in Korean. Anywho, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. Okay, I thought we were going to be talking about the Taiwanese elections. We got other stuff to talk about. There's all sorts of stuff to talk about. And if we get around to it, we can even talk about the latest Kanye developments. But what's going on in China right now?
First I just want to say it's good to be back. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Hope everyone spent good quality time with their families. Don't take what you have for granted. Always be thankful and cherish what you have. Pardon me if I sound a little different. I caught a bit of a cold over Thanksgiving. As I was coming back from Thanksgiving, I turned on the news to see Western media headlines everywhere reporting about protests in China over their zero COVID policy and over their lockdown policies. And I started thinking in my head, I started scratching my head. I said, you know, whether these protests in China are legitimate or not, the Western media is so hypocritical in attacking China, attacking, you know, the nation itself, saying, oh, you know, how there's no freedom in China, the government is oppressing the protesters. While just 1 year ago, they were promoting the same exact thing in the West. They were saying we gotta have tough lockdown under protests is gonna spread COVID, and we need to, the government needs to crush these people. They were saying the same exact damn thing that they're accusing China of doing. So talk about the hypocrisy of the Western media. I just want to say that first.
Things were bad enough in America, you know, with Gretchen Slutmore not letting people buy tomatoes, and, you know, Governor Murphy in New Jersey shutting down all the gyms, and yeah, all sorts of bad. It was bad enough in America, but you remember, obviously, you remember the truckers and Justin Trudeau's brutal response to them. I mean, just like taking their money.
Exactly. They're still going out. In Canada too, they're still trying to confiscate these truckers' property because they were, you know, insurrectionists or whatever language they use up there. But yeah, Justin Trudeau is a tyrant,
and it was worse in Australia. I mean, everything that they're saying about China, it was going on in Australia. You had I watched Tucker Carlson today, the Tucker Carlson Fagcast. They've changed the name of the show to the Tucker Carlson Fagcast because at least there's a little bit of truth in advertising there. And he was just going on and on. You know, he was loving this stuff, and you know, talking about how they're taking people and putting them in vans and carting them away. Well, maybe they are. They were doing exactly that in Australia. Literally taking people and keeping them in camps. And Tucker Carlson was saying that this is all about controlling people. It has nothing to do with public health. And the thing is, honestly, I think the zero COVID policy is a stupid policy. I've said it lots of times. But having said that, I think the Chinese government actually believes that this is for public health. Because think about it. 40 years ago, under Mao, they had control over people. They had all the control they wanted. And if you look at the trajectory of China over the past 40 years, they've been getting more and more freedom. I mean, the thing is, the Chinese culture is not about freedom. It's about harmony. And, you know, freedom is important. Harmony is also important, by the way. But, you know, they're different priorities. But, you know, the one-child policy has given way to a two-child policy, has given way to a three-child policy. People's living standards have gotten much greater. They can communicate, you know, is there censorship? Maybe there's a little bit of censorship here and there, but they can communicate really, really well. And here's Dr. Duke was pointing this out. these clips that you're seeing of the like jostling between police and protesters, you're not. I mean, I haven't watched them myself, but Dr. Duke was watching, and he's saying the police aren't beating the protesters. The protesters are beating the police. The police are very restrained. And were they restrained in Australia? I ask you.
Definitely not Canada. Yeah, imagine that. The police actually allowing the people to protest the zero COVID policy, saying that go ahead. They were showing extreme restraint. There was very little clashes between the police and the protesters. They were allowing them. Whereas, yeah, you look at what happened in Australia. You look at what happened in Canada. I mean, in China, I didn't see horses trampling on you know, people like we saw in Canada with their militarized police, and same with Australia with their militarized police. You know, those jackbooted SWAT team thugs with their helmets and their fully autos and going after people, you know, crushing people down, shooting rubber bullets at people. We didn't see any of that in China. You didn't have militarized police in full body armor shooting rubber bullets at people.
Mm-hmm. And I think this is really going to be the test. Because, like I say, any people around the world, anywhere they are, if they're protesting against masks, and I don't know if they're actually protesting against vaccines in China, because they didn't have these mRNA vaccines. And that's something important to remember, that nobody in China was forced to take an mRNA vaccine, okay? Whereas they were here. I mean, in America, school kids, college kids were forced to take it. It's just service members, hospital workers, just like a big, big hunk of the American workforce and school population was forced to take this stuff. I mean, so it's, and they weren't forced to, maybe they were forced to take traditional vaccines, but you know, the traditional vaccines, you know, we've been forced to take traditional vaccines for the most part for decades.
Exactly. Vaccine in China is completely different. It's not this harmful mRNA that mm-hmm. can cause sudden heart attacks and people to just drop dead like that. Chinese vaccine, just like the flu vax.
By the way, a few weeks ago, yeah, I play basketball, and I also watch basketball, and I was at a gym, and there was this girl about 20 years old, and she all of a sudden collapsed, and she was grasping at her heart, and the ambulance came and took her away. You don't see that every day. I never used to see that. Have I seen it this year? Oh yes. How about last summer? I didn't mention this, but or did I? Maybe I did. I was playing basketball, and on the other side of the gym, there was some older people, and they were playing volleyball, kind of like volleyball for old people. It wasn't a regular volleyball. It was kind of like more like a inflatable beach ball or something. But they were playing volleyball, and this old man just dropped dead. I mean, he was still technically breathing when they carted him away, but I know he died that night in the hospital. I don't, you know, at that time I just thought, well, he's an old guy, and you know, if you live long enough, you're going to see somebody drop dead on a basketball court or a volleyball court. But you know, that's a lot. And then, oh hey, you know, earlier this year I was in Walmart, and this lady just kind of collapsed. She just collapsed, and they called the ambulance and carted her away. So there's, you know, and that's like in 1 year seeing three people just collapse and be carted away. And I don't know, I can't say that any of them were because of the mRNA vaccine, but I will say that I don't know if like in my entire life up until now I'd seen a total of maybe three people collapse and get carted away. It doesn't happen all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be happening more often now.
Yeah, I mean, I know a guy who knew a guy that was very healthy. You know, he was in his late 60s, early 70s, but he was very healthy. You know, he'd still do his own repairs and kind of, you know, manual work around the house, and he was still working, even though he could have retired. He was still working, and he was actually working in healthcare, too. He would tell me a lot of his patients were actually younger than him, elderly patients. And then one day, just suddenly died. So I... perfectly healthy, suddenly died. So I'm like, it's got to be the vax. I don't see what else it could. It's got to be that Pfizer mRNA vax or Moderna or whichever, you know, Judeo-Western pharmaceutical company. It's got to be one of those.
Yeah, and in Japan, there is a member of parliament, and he's started a study group. I think that I was told that the Japanese government has already admitted to 2,000 deaths from the vaccine. I have to confirm that. But, you know, the likelihood is that there's been a lot more than just 2,000.
Now in Japan, they took the Pfizer one. Right?
Yes.
Besides, yes. There's no vaccine in Japan.
There was Pfizer and there was Moderna, but Moderna got, and I guess Johnson & Johnson, but they froze Johnson & Johnson is probably the least dangerous of the three. But it has had its problems. And,
what percentage of the population of Japan is vaxxed?
It's pretty high, but it wasn't forced. It wasn't forced.
That's it was still,
and it was free, but it wasn't forced.
That's really sad. And you know how the Japanese people are. They don't want to, you know, stand out and be different from the society. They think that they want to do what's best for the collective, and they at the time they thought that was the best. So that's really sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And of course, you know, they have enough problems with reproducing as it is. So it's very sad. But what I was going to say earlier, the real test is going to be, you know, it's not whether or not there's demonstrations. It's whether or not, the government is going to alter its policy. And, you know, I heard that they said they're not going to alter their policy, but we'll see. Because what happened is in Australia is you had protests, you had brutality, and they didn't change their policy.
No, same with Canada. They made it even worse. In fact, they said we didn't go far enough. We need to go even further and shut down any who even questions it.
Well, now you have Fauci. He's out there, like, I guess he's doing his farewell tour, and he's saying maybe we should shut down the schools again. I mean, fortunately, in America, a lot of this is eased up. But the official policies haven't changed.
Well, the good news in America is because you do have more, you know, the states have more power than in other countries. You have a more decentralized system. So, you know, instead of Florida and, Texas, it's definitely very black. In fact, I don't think vax mandates are allowed in either one of those states. And then, of course, you have a lot of states, too, in the Great Plains and in the South is the same thing. It's really, you know, your northeastern states and your West Coast states that do allow, you know, not do allow, that do, you know, mandate the vax more. So you don't really see it too much in America because of the decentralized states having more rights. But here's the thing, though. I remember in late 2021, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security issued a terror alert. Remember that? A terror alert. And they basically two categories of people that would fall under this terror alert. The first was anybody who questioned the secure and fair election in all of human history, the 2020 presidential election. Anyone who questioned that was a terrorist threat. And the second was anybody who questioned the vaccine, anybody who was against vaccine mandates was also a threat. And no other country in the world, I mean, you had the violent crackdowns in Canada and Australia and you know, European countries, but in terms of officially putting out a statement saying that these people, you need to watch out for them as domestic terrorists, yeah. There's no other country, China's definitely never done that. But the United States Department of Homeland Security under the Jewish Cuban Alejandro Mayorkas, he was the one who did that. So it's just, you know, to talk about more, you know, American hypocrisy, pointing fingers at China.
Mm. Yeah. And the Tucker show is just so bad. And then Tucker had on Laura Ingraham, who, like, I've never really paid much attention to her because I've heard she's a lawyer. But she really doesn't seem very bright to me. And Tucker, to his credit, he has been complaining. And in fact, in the show tonight was complaining about, the Ukrainian government. It's supposed to be all about democracy, but you know, they've shut down all their opposition newspapers and political parties. And I think he referred to, Zelensky as a thug. So, you know, good for him. He, you know, he's talking like that. And then Laura Ingraham comes on, and Laura, like, they're blaming China for everything under the sun. And then Laura Ingraham says, yeah, and, you know, the Ukrainian war, well, who's funding it? It's the Chinese that are funding the Ukrainian war. What? I mean, Congress giving, you know, tens of billions, 60 billion here, 40 billion there. I don't know. Well, did she not hear Tucker? Like, Tucker was siding against the Ukrainian government. So is she saying that they're funding the war because of Russia? And obviously they're not funding Russia, but, you know, they are trading with Russia. Does that mean they're funding the war? And if they are funding the war, well, at least they're funding the good guys. I mean, but it was just so bizarre. And then he had on, what's the guy's name? Radcliffe. He was a congressman from Texas, and then he became the director of national intelligence for about a year or so under Trump, something Radcliffe. And, you know, he's not Jewish. He's like, you know, Anglo-Texan or something. He doesn't speak with a Texan accent, though, but I'm pretty sure he represented Texas in Congress. And maybe he represented a different state. But, you know, he's just like, well, you know, of course, obviously, China's our biggest world adversary, our biggest enemy, and, you know, I don't know. What I want to see, because you had in the West, in almost all Western countries, you had demonstrations. The demonstrations were put down. The policies were not changed. Okay. Now in China, they're having demonstrations. What's going to happen? I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. And obviously what I hope is that the Chinese system will be more responsive than the Western system, because the Western system were not responsive to the will of the people. Absolutely not. Will the Chinese system be more responsive to the will of the people? And that'll be very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, in China, you know, just like the Chinese patriotic businessman Eric Lee, he said, in China, you cannot change the party, but you can change the policy. Whereas in the West, especially in America, yeah, you can change the party all day, but you cannot change the policy. So,
Here's the test case, because we just saw it in the Western countries. They could not change the policy. Public opinion did not matter. It could not change the policy. And will it happen in China? Is China more responsive to the will of the people? It'll be very interesting to see. I hope so.
Yeah, and one thing I want to point out too is the protests you saw in China were much smaller than the ones in the West. I mean, the West, you had entire, you know, city blocks, an entire city just filled with people protesting against this lockdown. And China is not as many. So we see how the Western governments reacted. They violently crushed them, especially Canada and Australia. But then we see,
mm-hmm.
and we see what's happening in China. And, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to just cover everything up for you know, the CPC and say they're doing everything right and the protesters are wrong. I mean, obviously there are legitimate reasons why some of them are protesting. I mean, it does suck to be locked down for, you know, 3 years. I'm not going to say that they need to just shut up.
Being locked down for 3 years. I mean, but these lockdowns here and there have occurred over the course of 3 years.
I didn't mean 3 years continuously. No, I don't mean that. I mean, the Chinese government is not that far, but I can understand, you know, on and off, you know, lockdown, no lockdown. I can understand why people would be, you know, upset about this. I mean,
oh, they ought to be.
I also want to remain balanced. I don't want to just say, these people need to shut up and listen to their government, because no. I definitely wouldn't want someone from another country telling us to shut up and listen to our government, especially considering the fact that our federal government literally wants to destroy and undermine us.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
People need to shut up and listen to their government because no. I definitely wouldn't want someone from another country telling us to shut up and listen to our government, especially considering the fact that our federal government literally wants to destroy and undermine us as people. China's doesn't, but theirs is more. And, you know, I mean, for me personally, I do think there is something more to just, you know, zero COVID. I do think that China is trying to prepare, you know, the people for something, you know, potentially some kind of a conflict or some kind of war to where they'll have to respond very fast or something. That's just my theory. I don't know. I could be completely wrong. But, you know, how especially when China looks across the Pacific and sees how aggressive the American Empire is becoming and how they're, you know, constantly trying to, you know, arm Japan and South Korea and the Philippines or Southeast Asia. And you know, Taiwan and all that, I can see why China would be taking steps to transition from a peacetime economy to a wartime, considering how they see the American Empire is literally about to implode in the Pacific and the Ukraine. So
yeah,
it could be that too. Again, I could be wrong. It could very well just be just that zero COVID policy, but it's we'll have to see.
Well, it is and it remains, it has been, it remains my working assumption that the Chinese government's attitude towards COVID is similar to the Japanese. And I know I'm very confident that I understand the Japanese attitude, and the Japanese, and there are people in Japan who talk like this too. It's not just me. The Japanese
They're bureaucrats. They're elite. They're getting their information from the New York Times. You go into any, you know, you go into the foreign ministry, you go into, you know, major investment institutions, banks and insurance companies, and you see they have the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Financial Times. They've got CNN on. They're following the mainstream American news. And the word from the mainstream American news has been that in America and in these Western countries, the coronavirus just has killed millions of people. And in the case of the Japanese, they didn't mandate a lot of stuff, but they encouraged things, and the population is so obedient that just being encouraged meant that everybody's been walking around with masks for almost 3 years. And they think, oh, well, we haven't had millions of people die. We've had, you know, a few tens of thousands. Our death rate is 1/15 of the American death rate. It means that walking around with masks for 3 years and taking the vaccines in an orderly fashion, that's why we're having such success. And I know that's the case in Japan. I assume it's the case in China, because Tucker Carlson tonight on his show, he said they're doing these lockdowns even though they're not reporting any deaths. There aren't any deaths from the coronavirus. That's what he said. I mean, I don't know what the official statistics are, but if you're China and you believe what you're hearing from the Western media about all the people dying in America and in Europe, and you're doing all these lockdowns, and guess what? Nobody's dying. You're having lockdowns, but nobody's dying. You think it's a successful policy. And I'm pretty confident that's, and it's a wrong policy. It's stupid, but they don't understand they just can't comprehend the degree to which the American media is lying about everything.
Yeah, not just them too, but also, you know, the United Nations and the WHO, China, they tend to trust them a little too much also. And they say the same thing, basically, although nowhere near as much as the Western media lies, but still lies, any kind of promoting COVID. But I think we should also talk about, too, what instigated, you know, all of a sudden, why are there these protests? And basically, the official, you could say the official reason they're going with, or the official cause they're saying, is because, you know, the World Cup is going on right now in Qatar, which, you know, I care less. I honestly do want to see a non-Western country win, because all the Western countries are so, you know, liberal, degenerate, woke. But anyway,
it was awesome that Japan beat Germany. Germany absolutely deserves to lose.
I know, and so does the UK too. I hate the UK team the most, because yeah, they're promoting, you know, facts and pride and all that crap.
Hey, if Iran beats the great Satan America tomorrow, Iran's going to advance.
Oh, that'd be awesome. I want to see that. I want to see in that group, I want to see Iran and Wales, those two,
yeah,
beat the UK and the US. Yeah, but I think it's because a lot of Chinese people, they, you know, the soccer is one of those sports that Chinese people are not good at. And, you know, the U.S. wasn't good at soccer for a long time, too. But China's, you know, that they didn't make it to the World Cup. But they do love to watch soccer. And what they say happened was a lot of Chinese people, when they were watching TV at home, because, you know, if you're locked down, you can't go out, you watch TV. And they saw the World Cup going on, and they saw the crowds in the World Cup, you know, just cheering on with no masks and everything. And of course they want, of course they'd rather, you know, be out and about. You know, in Chinese they're talking "热闹," means, you know, very lively, very vibrant. You know, then Chinese people, they tend to like very crowded areas, because
yeah.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, in trying so many different coffees that were so good. And every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee. So I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our 5th bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Be out and about, you know. In Chinese, you're talking "热闹." Means, you know, very lively, very vibrant. You know, then Chinese people, they tend to like very crowded areas because I know it.
Yeah. Ben Franklin calls it the hive mentality.
The hive mentality. Well, I mean, I guess that's the Western way to put it. They like crowded areas, it's like they always have to go where the crowd is. So when they see all these crowds out there celebrating, cheering on their team, they're like, well, why are we still locked in our apartments? We want to go out. And that's what started. And then I think another one, too, was there was some building in Urumqi, which is the capital of Xinjiang, where the Xinjiang Autonomous Prefecture, that's where the autonomous region, that's where the Uyghurs live. But there was a building there, an apartment building that caught on fire. And a few people died because they couldn't get out because of the, you know, lockdown. But, and, you know, by the way, buildings catch on fire all the time in the West. They catch on fire in New York. They catch on fire in London. So anyone that wants to say, oh, see, this is China, you know, lack of building. No, just buildings catch on fire all the time. But I think what happened was a building caught on fire and a couple people died. And that's why people are protesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, in my opinion, that the government should consider that and should treat that as legitimate, but ultimately, though, it needs to be solved between the government and the people, the central authorities of the CPC and the people, and then not be subverted and taken over by the West and the CIA and all the, you know, different organs of the American empire.
That's the key. you know, the Tiananmen Square, I always say this, maybe I'm kind of wrong, maybe, you know, but the way I remember it in real time was that students were demonstrating about the horrible conditions in dormitories. The toilets were awful, you know. And so maybe there was more to it. I know you've talked about like memorializing Hu Yaobang and things like that. I thought I heard somebody when I was listening to Tucker and they had the crowd. I thought I heard some chant of Hu Yaobang. I don't know why they would do that. He was, you know, the former premier from prime minister from the 80s. But those protests wound up getting hijacked. And when I was in Tibet in 1987, I didn't realize the extent that there were riots going on, even though I saw some violence, but I just thought it was like a knife fight, like a local knife fight. I didn't realize it was part of, you know, this large scale violence. But when I was in Tibet in 1987, there was all this English graffiti all over the place. And like, why? You know, at that point there'd only been like maybe a few thousand Westerners who had ever even been to Tibet. It was very closed. I was lucky to get in, but there was like Western graffiti, you know, free Tibet and this kind of stuff. Why was it there? I mean, Tibetans don't speak English. The Chinese weren't speaking English. So why was there all this English graffiti? So it was weird. And you know, with Hong Kong, I 4 years ago or so, it was before the coronavirus stuff started, they were demonstrating against, you know, some legal change to the extradition treaty, but those got taken over really quickly by kind of gay Antifa, the gay Antifa in Hong Kong.
Boba tea soy boys is what they are.
And so, you know, I, like, on the one hand, I support any people anywhere demonstrating against coronavirus measures, because the coronavirus measures are just outrageous. But I don't want to see this infiltrated by CIA and State Department, which, you know, they want to do. You know, they're going to try their utmost to do this. And I don't want to see it happen. That would be a shame. I want to see the protest succeed in changing the policy, because it's a bad policy. But like I say, I don't think it's an evil policy. I think that that the Chinese government is convinced that this has saved millions of lives, but they're wrong.
Mm-hmm. That, or, you know, the behind the scenes, kind of the more hidden, you know, strategy to, you know, prepare for you know, conflict or a wartime, which, you know, they don't tell the people right away because they might get freaked out.
You've mentioned that a number of times, and like maybe that's a possibility too. The Chinese government does have legitimate reason to be alarmed at what's going on in that part of the world, with, you know, the I know the Japanese in particular have gone really anti-Chinese, which is just, it's so retarded. Cause here you got this, you know, this is what I try to tell these people. I say, look at the American government, which is dominated by Jews, okay? The American government, dominated by Jews, has attacked its own people with black riots. It's attacked its own people with the coronavirus measures. It's faked its elections. It's sponsoring wars all over the country. It's attacking its own people, replacing its own people with massive immigration from random places. And you're their strongest ally. Not only that, but they're occupying your islands. How does that make you feel? Right? It's not China. And they're like, oh, well, there's nothing we can do about America, but China. And so, you know, why should China, or North Korea for that matter, view Japan as a threat? There's only one reason to view it as a threat. It's because you've got these American military bases all over the archipelago with nuclear weapons aimed at China and North Korea.
Yeah, the reason Japan is a threat is because it's connected to the American empire.
That's not because it's a threat.
They think, They think, oh, the rising sun, you know, the emperor and the imperial of Japan is going to come back. And no, it's nonsense. It's because Japan is connected to the American Empire. That's why they might
see the unsinkable aircraft carrier. I think that was Zenko Suzuki, the former prime minister, who called it the unsinkable aircraft. Maybe it was Nakasone. I can't remember. One or the other of these prime ministers from the 1980s say that we are the American unsinkable aircraft carrier. Okay. Well, if you're the unsinkable aircraft carrier, then you're a target.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to say one thing interesting too about the timing of these anti-lockdown protests. Isn't it interesting how, again, I'm not saying it's a lot of it is legitimate, but isn't it interesting how the timing too happened right as over in Taiwan, that disgusting, you know, bitch dyke that, you know, rules the DPP is stepping down.
The cat lady. She'll still be president until what? Early 2024 or something. But is she stepping down as chairman of the DPP, the Democratic?
Yeah, the party.
Progressive Party. And so that's Tsai Ing-wen. What is her name? Vegetable English Literature or something like that. English literature, vegetable.
Vegetable English.
Yeah. Okay, so they had local elections in Taiwan, but, you know, the local elections, it's a big deal because it's not a real country, right? When I used to cover it in the 1980s, there was no such thing as national elections. They were local elections. There was no such thing as national elections because the parliament was the parliament of all of China, and the people in Taipei who were passing the laws were representing not just, you know, various cities and villages in Taipei and Taiwan. They were representing Wuhan and Shanghai and, you know, Huihaode, and they were representing all these places all over mainland China. That's the national government was made up of representatives from all of mainland China because they claimed to be that, and they still claim to be the Republic of China. So the local elections are more than just local elections, right? I mean, the local elections is super significant. And who won the mayor race?
For which city? For Kaohsiung or Taipei?
Taipei.
I don't remember his name, but wasn't it a Kuomintang? It was a Kuomintang.
Oh, yeah, Kuomintang. Chiang Kai-shek's great-grandson.
Oh, yeah. I need to read into that more deeply, but yeah, that's good. I guess.
No, I mean, I only became aware of it. I saw it on RT yesterday. I wasn't aware of it. Actually, there's a lot I wasn't aware of. So, okay, she had Chiang Kai-shek, and I his son was Chiang Jing-guo, and when I went to Taiwan, Chiang Jing-guo was president. Chiang Jing-guo was his son. Now, the thing is, it was hard to make a dynasty because Chiang Jing-guo's wife was Russian.
So was Chiang Kai-shek's great-grandson, that was Chiang Jing-guo's grandson.
It's Chiang Jing-guo's grandson, but not from his Russian wife. It's from he had a Chinese mistress, and they had a son, or they had twin sons, and one of them, I don't know his Chinese name, but his anglicized name is John Chang. And John Chang, I wasn't aware of him, but he was actually a pretty big shot in the political world, and he was the vice prime minister at one point. And his son is a very, very handsome young man. I guess he looks like a young Chiang Kai-shek with hair, and with like movie star hair, or you know, like Japanese movie star hair. And he's the new Taiwan mayor of Taipei, and I guess Tsai Ing-wen was mayor of Taipei, wasn't she? And then one of her predecessors, what was his name? He was the last, I think he was the last Kuomintang president. What was it? His name had, it was some, it had a dragon. It was like nine dragons. What was his name? Do you know what I'm talking about? I think his name was like.
Oh, Ma Ying-jeou.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wasn't he mayor of Taipei? I think he was.
Yeah, he was actually a pretty decent guy, in my opinion. He was actually a pretty good guy.
Yeah, I think so too. That was my impression. I mean, I don't know that deeply. So you've got because John Chang was illegitimate, he was from a mistress. I guess they kind of refrained on reporting on him as being Chiang Kai-shek's grandson, but he was. And now I guess they're less restrained on it. And so this new mayor, I don't know a whole lot about him other than he's Chiang Kai-shek's grandson. But you know, the nationalists, the whole irony is that the nationalist party that was fighting the communist party in the first half of the 20th century, they are the ones who favor peaceful unification with China.
Yeah, it's interesting how the Kuomintang, the nationalists, and the current CPC have become more practical over the years when it comes to, foreign relations, diplomacy. Well, not really foreign, it's an internal relation within China, but, straight talks.
Intra-Chinese relations is what you could call it.
Inter-Chinese relations, across the Taiwanese Straits. Mm-hmm. Because, and then you got the, and this is going to be a really wild comparison, but you got the Maoist CPC, which doesn't exist anymore, and the DPP. Those are the radical ideologues, and they're both bad. And they're the ones that want, but you have the modern CPC, the post Deng Xiaoping CPC, which, wants peaceful reunification, kind of a one country, two systems. And then you have the Kuomintang, which, also wants a kind of peaceful reunification under two systems. So you have these two sides coming together, and then you got the DPP, the radical, Western liberal, left, party, which basically wants Taiwan to break away and become another Western puppet, an American puppet, I should say. And then, of course, the Maoist CPC, which is all about, communism, and we got to spread communism around the world, and internationalist, which doesn't exist anymore in China, except only in history and symbology.
Yeah. All right, well, that's very interesting. I don't know if you have anything more to say about that. We have about another 5 minutes, and there's been interesting Kanye developments.
I'll put it this way. I'll say as much as I have to avoid talking about Kanye.
Okay. Well, then I'll talk about Kanye.
Yeah.
Now, it's the gift that keeps on giving. And Kanye has apparently Kanye got contacted by Alex Jones's producer, who recommended that Milo Yiannopoulos work on Kanye's campaign. So then Kanye hired Milo.
That Jewish homo.
Well, he's like a former Jewish homo, but now he talks about Jewish power. So whatever. If and then Milo is like, you got to get Nick Fuentes. So Kanye says, okay. So now you've got, as I talked about it on my Friday show, Kanye took Nick Fuentes to the White House for a meeting with Donald Trump. Okay, so that was all interesting. Now, a couple hours ago, on Monday evening, Kanye, Milo, and Nick Fuentes were going to appear on the Tim Pool Fagcast, or whatever he calls it. And you know Tim Pool, right?
Yeah, barely.
Yeah, you're not missing anything. But a lot of people watch. I mean, it's a big YouTube channel, and I'm sure he makes a lot of money. And so, the three of them were there, and of course, Tim Pool talks a lot, and he's pretty self-righteous, and he's like, I always just thought he was boring. I never realized how totally gay he was, but, he had them on, and then the moment that Kanye, Kanye, he's kind of spacey, but he's doing God's work. If there's a God, he's doing God's work. That's all I can say. And he's bringing the discussion of Jewish power into the American discourse. He's doing it. And Dr. Duke has tried, for anybody to start off as a young man and just honestly do this for 50 years, nobody could do more than David Duke. And I say that sincerely. Nobody I don't see how anybody could be expected to do more or achieve more than David Duke as a young man who got on this issue from the get-go. And I think what that shows is really the only way, we need people who weren't on it from the get-go. We need people who became very, very prominent and then converted. We need that. I you know, and that's what Russia had. I mean, Putin was just holding his cards close to the vest, but Putin surprised everybody. And maybe this is, you know, Kanye's role. He's coming out. He got to be really popular, really successful, really rich. And now all of a sudden he wants to talk about Jews at age 45. Well, great. He's doing it. So anyway, he starts talking about Jewish.
Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, Big Ben? Come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben. Yeah, we definitely got the front door, good buddy. Mercy sakes alive, looks like we got us a convoy.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Big Ben, what's your 20? Omaha. Well, they ought to know what to do with them hogs out there for sure. Well, mercy sakes, good buddy. We're going to back on out here, so keep the bugs off your glass and the bears.
Kanye's role. He's coming out. He got to be really popular, really successful, really rich. And now all of a sudden he wants to talk about Jews at age 45. Well, great. He's doing it. So anyway, he starts talking about Jewish power, and like these Jews who were trying to lock him up and put him in the hospital. And Tim Pool says, why are you saying, you know, what does this have to do with Judaism? And Kanye says, it's because they were Jews. And then, you know, Nick tried to say something, and Kanye just got frustrated because he's been through so many of these interviews. He just got up and walked out. And then the rest of them, got up and walked out. And they'd only been there for 15 or 20 minutes. It hadn't been very far. It gone very far. And so then you had the rest of the show. Tim Pool and his sidekicks were just saying, all we were talking about, all we were saying is, why are you saying it's the Jews? Why are you saying, that's all we wanted to do is get in a conversation about how it's not really the Jews. That's all we were trying to do. And they just seemed so gay and so bought out. And you know, Tim Pool's not, he's boring, but he's not stupid. And so he knows what he's doing. Now, if you're going to watch it, you can watch it. Yeah, I mean, you could watch, you go to YouTube and I think it's called the Tim Pool Fagcast. Maybe it's the Tim Cast. I don't know. It's something like that. And you can watch, the Kanye portion there, the first 15 or 20 minutes. But if you want to watch them talking after they've been walked out on, go to the Kill Stream with, what's the guy's name? Ethan Ralph. watch Ethan Ralph, who's like screaming at his TV monitor as Tim Pool and the other two people are making their lame excuses. That's actually kind of funny. So it was good, but it shows that like Kanye is, I mean, maybe to our boomer audience, I wouldn't have known any of this if I didn't have a young person who told me to go look at it. But more people watch Tim Pool than watch, you know, like CBS News. Okay. It's sad to, you know, well, I mean, CBS News sucks. They both suck. But so it's a big deal that Kanye is just going on all these shows and he is insisting on talking about the Jews. He just will. And it's also significant because, Kanye, I don't know if he speaks all that clearly about anything, but I'm glad he's doing it. I mean, to me, he's the most important person in America right now. I'm glad he's doing this, and I do endorse his presidential race. I think it's going to be a great vehicle, and we'll see what happens, and nothing could be worse than the presidency that we've been having. But I think it's very significant that he's brought on even Milo, but especially Nick Fuentes, who can speak very, very clearly about Jewish power. So any thoughts before we wrap it up?
Well, all I have to say is, whatever it takes to cause more commotion and distress and chaos in the American Empire and to whatever, you know, accelerates the bringing, you know, the collapse of the American Empire, the American regime, the, you know, establishment in Washington, D.C., I'm all for it. So even if it has to be done in a very, very bizarre and, you know, really comical way to the whole world, let it be, because that's really the goal, is that the American Empire no longer has the power to exploit its own, you know, the people that are being ruled by, that it's ruling over, and the whole world.
Yeah. No, but you're right. It is, you know, whatever it takes to bring down the American Empire, it is comical, and this is what it takes. So thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you. Glad to be back. Hope my voice will be clear next week.
Yeah, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Chinatown, my Chinatown, where the lights are low. Hearts that know no other lands, drifting to and fro. Dreamy, dreamy Chinatown. Always night so bright. Night seems light and life.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Yo. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.